Welcome to another new episode of the 3-Bid League podcast. As always, I am your host, Tyler. And now we're going to break down the Davidson-Michigan State matchup with Connor Muldowney of Spartan Avenue here to give us some perspective on Michigan State. Connor, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so we'll start with what might not be the most important matchup of the game, but certainly is the one that's going to bring the most headlines, and that is at the point guard spot. Of course, it's been done to death by this point. Michigan State transfer Foster Lawyer with a chance to have a revenge game here against his former team, now really just having an incredible season with Davidson. On the Michigan State side, the narrative has been all year that they still have not quite solved the point guard spot. It's been split by Lawyer's backup last year, A.J. Hoggard, and Northeastern transfer Tyson Walker. So is this narrative true? Is Michigan State still having problems with the point guards? And perhaps even more importantly, are both of these guys healthy?
Those are both good questions. If you asked me, let's say a month ago, if Michigan State was still having problems at their point guard position, I would have said yes. But we've seen Tyson Walker kind of grow slowly into that go-to player. He can make a big shot when Michigan State needs it. He's not exactly the facilitator that Hoggard is, but they kind of balance each other out, and it's working out nicely for both of them. They can actually be in the lineup at the same time, and it's usually beneficial for the Spartans. But the healthy part, that's a good question. Hoggard is healthy. He put up 17 points after he twisted his ankle against Purdue in the Big Ten tournament semifinals. But the jury's still out on Tyson Walker. He missed some practice this week, didn't return to the game after he twisted his ankle like 10 seconds right before Hoggard did. It'll be interesting to see, but I liked the matchup of Hoggard on Lawyer just because we might see some, you know, back to the basket action and Hoggard taking advantage of his size there.
Yeah, and those two against each other will be really fascinating too, given that they did spend a whole year of practice going up against one another. I'm not sure who that brings the advantage to, but certainly there's going to be an element of familiarity there.
Yeah, for sure. I'm pretty sure they're friends, but either way, it'll be fun to watch them go back and forth at each other. Hoggard's been a much improved defender. He's guarded guys like Jaden Ivey and, you know, Fats Russell and all those kind of guys. So he's going to be ready for Lawyer. It's just all about perimeter defense, which has kind of been the Spartans' Achilles heel over the past couple of weeks. But that'll be a fun matchup to watch for sure.
Yeah, so we'll take it now into the front court. Michigan State just has a huge, huge lineup. They start the 6'8 senior Gabe Brown. They start the 6'7 senior, or sorry, 6'9 senior Joey Hauser. They start the 7-foot senior Marcus Bingham. It's an old and very sizable front line. What makes the Spartans so good down low? I know Gabe Brown was third team all Big Ten. He was the only guy to be honored from the Spartans on those teams. What's the key to their down low game?
I think once they get the ball into the post, Gabe is more of a wing kind of player. I would like to see him drive and get to the paint a little more, but he's primarily on the wing. Same with Hauser. Hauser rarely has a back down game, but when they get the ball to Bingham in the post, it's usually a good sign and it usually pays off. The length, just like length on defense, length on offense, it bothers some teams, especially with Bingham and Brown. They're athletic, they're lengthy, they can cause problems, they can, you know, they can defend the rim. But it's all about the consistency, which is something we haven't seen a ton from them this year. But when Bingham is playing well, Michigan State's usually in a good spot, and it's because of his length bothering people.
Yeah, we'll see what he can do up against Luka Brajkovic. We know, as I've discussed with our listeners throughout the year, Brajkovic basically is going to kind of serve as the safety valve for Davidson. And if the three-point shots aren't falling, they're going to have to rely on him to get buckets. Well, throughout most of the season, this has not been a great year in the A-10 for big-time menacing shot blockers. They had to face it against St. Bonaventure and against Dayton in some games where they didn't play their best. But other than that, they've been able to dominate in the post. So we'll see if Michigan State could potentially take that away.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Bingham can do a solid job, you know, because Brajkovic obviously stretches the floor. So we'll see if Bingham can get out to the three-point line and not get lost in the shuffle a little bit. So if he can defend the three and cause problems whenever anybody takes it into the post, then State should be in a good spot.
We also have two of the best three-point shooting teams in the country going at each other, both top 20 in three-point percentage nationally. If this game turns into a shootout, is that going to favor Michigan State, or is that going to be a problem for them?
Oh, man. See, when you say Michigan State's the top 20 three-point shooting team, it almost doesn't feel like it sometimes because they're so streaky and inconsistent. But when Michigan State's making shots, they're almost impossible to beat. I haven't watched a lot of Davidson this year, but I do know that their shooters can get up shots with very little separation, and they can kind of cause problems with even like a sliver of an opening. So guys like Gabe Brown and Max Christie can counter that because they get up shots pretty quick. If it turns into a shootout, I don't like that favoring Michigan State just because that's not really their go-to game. Like, they can make the three, they can make deep shots, but they're not, once they start relying on that, that's when they get in trouble. So if it turns into a shootout, it might be a long day for Michigan State, but if Michigan State can kind of control the momentum and get out in the fast break and kind of pound it down low, I think they're going to take advantage.
Okay. And so, like you just said, a shootout's going to be good for Davidson, bad for Michigan State. One of the most important things to stopping Davidson all year has been teams with good wing defenders to take out Hyungjoon Lee and Mike Jones off the ball, guys that can follow them around, really disturb them when they're running around on screens. Do you think the Spartans have guys like that defensively?
I do think that they have that defensively. Max Christie is one of the best defenders on the team. They could even sub in a guy like Jaden Akins off the bench, who, in my opinion, might actually be the best perimeter defender Michigan State has. So if they just, you know, sometimes they have the tendency to get lost on ball screens and lost on off-ball screens and all that. If they can fight through those and make the correct switches, I think they'll be okay because they do have capable defenders. But it's when they kind of, you know, get lost in the shuffle and a screen kind of blows up their whole defensive outlook that it becomes a problem. But yes, they do have a couple of very good perimeter defenders that can counter that.
Yeah, and if any Michigan State fans happen to somehow stumble on this, I will tell you the biggest key to beating Davidson this year has been knocking Hyungjoon Lee off his game before he gets the ball. So we'll see if Max Christie is up to that challenge, as you believe he is.
Yeah, it worries me that he has such a quick trigger. And I've seen him. I watched the championship game where they lost, and he can just – I mean, he can affect a game quickly. He can, you know, make a defense – put a defense on its heels for the entire game. So it'll be interesting to see if Christie is up to the challenge, and I think – I'm crossing my fingers that he is.
So Max Christie makes Big Ten All-Freshman team this year. He finishes second on the team in scoring at just a mere 9.5 points a game. This is a team that, just according to the numbers, has a lot of very solid offensive players, but really no stars at all. Gabe Brown, as I mentioned, third team All-Big Ten, 11.5 points to lead the way. If this becomes a tight game, last minute, last 2 minutes, let's say we're tied, maybe the Spartans are down one, do you believe that this is a team that can get a basket against a really disciplined, although not elite, Davidson defense?
After watching the past few weeks and hoping that Michigan State develops a go-to scorer, I think that they can. I think Tyson Walker, believe it or not, has been that go-to guy in the clutch. He hit a big shot to beat Purdue near the end of the regular season. He stepped up against, I think it was Wisconsin when the game was tight. And State has won close games because of different guys stepping up, but Walker has been that really reliable mid-range to deep shot kind of guy who has that clutch factor that Michigan State desperately needs. They, like you said, they don't have that go-to scorer. Gabe can make shots every now and then, but he's very, very, very streaky. Christie is also streaky. They have, you could go down the list of names on the roster and pick anyone, and they could all be that guy in the clutch, but it's just not consistent enough. But Walker, in my opinion, has to be the go-to guy when Michigan State needs it.
All right. So we'll see what he can do and if he's even healthy. One more thing that I want to cover in terms of Michigan State's defense versus Davidson's offense. We're bouncing around here a little bit, but just the one thing in the scouting report that screams huge advantage for the Wildcats. Michigan State is bottom 50 in the nation in being able to force turnovers on the defensive end. Davidson is one of the 20 best in the country at taking care of the ball. So that screams that this could potentially be a 6, 7, 8 turnover game for Davidson. Could that be a critical key? Is that something that Michigan State could overcome? Does maybe Izzo have some sort of adjustment up his sleeve to try to affect that?
If you mention turnovers to Michigan State fans, you'll probably get like groans and rolled eyes in every direction. But yeah, turnovers are probably the key this year for Michigan State. And I mean, you could argue that Michigan State's lost 5 or 6 games strictly because they turned the ball over too much. But I looked at the numbers. I think, like you said, Davidson is one of the top teams in the country at protecting the ball. Michigan State's actually played, I believe, 4 other top 15 opponents in turnovers. And they've won games like that. They beat Minnesota twice. They beat Wisconsin twice. They beat Northwestern. So they can win those games, but they have to have guys like Hogard and Walker and Christie, you know, doing what they do best and being active with their hands and forcing Foster Lawyer to be uncomfortable with the ball. And yes, turnovers are going to be very important, but thankfully Michigan State has worked on their own turnover issue and they can kind of put some pressure on Davidson, because Davidson hasn't faced many opponents like Michigan State with size and length and athleticism. So if Michigan State can somehow, it would blow my mind if they did, but if they could somehow win the turnover battle, I don't think that Davidson is going to have a chance.
Yeah, and we've seen throughout the year when Davidson does lose the turnover battle, as they did in their weird, weird loss at Rhode Island, that can be troublesome for the Wildcats, but it hasn't happened very often, so we'll see what happens in this one. Lastly, yeah. Oh, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I'd be shocked if Michigan State won the turnover battle. If you watched a Michigan State game all year, that's some of the turnovers are almost unbelievable.
So we'll close out the offensive end for the Spartans and the defensive end for the Wildcats. If Davidson is to win this game on defense, what is the most important thing that they can do to stall the Spartans?
That's a good question. I would say force guys like Bingham and Marble out of the paint and make Michigan State rely on the mid-range to long-range shots. Like I've said, Davidson would have the advantage if this turns into a shootout. So if they force Michigan State to get up, you know, 15, 20, 25 threes, which is very much not their go-to style, that would be the top key. Obviously, don't allow wide open threes and kind of do it that way. But, you know, force Bingham out, make sure Marble doesn't get to his really comfortable little baby hook game, or even in the mid-range. Marble is almost automatic from inside 15 feet. So if they can do that and kind of force Gabe Brown to get up uncomfortable contested threes, and same with Max Christie, just get up in his face, I think that Davidson has the advantage there.
All right, so it sounds to me like the keys to this game are going to be who can win the paint battle between Hall and Bingham up against Brejkovic and Menenga. If mm-hmm. either team can really just control the paint on one end, it's going to be huge. And then on the other side, what has been really a critical matchup for Davidson all year long, can Michigan State's defense hang around with Hyungjoon Lee throughout this game and prevent him from being able to make it into a shootout?
Yes. I mean, it's definitely – Michigan State has a tendency to get into these mid-range to long-range jumper, you know, stretches where they don't even look to get it inside when they're struggling to. So if they can hang in there in the post and kind of win that battle, I like Michigan State's chances.
All right. And so we just went over the keys. KenPom has this as an incredibly close game. He's giving Michigan State a 1-point win, exactly 50% odds of winning this game. Connor, how do you feel this is going to go?
Oh, man. As a Michigan State fan, I go through all the phases. So at this current moment, I'm fairly confident. So I think State wins by 5. But if you ask me 5 minutes before the game tomorrow, I'll be an absolute mess, and I'll probably say Davidson by 20. But right now I'm going to go Michigan State wins this one 73-68.
All right. And looking ahead, let's say the Spartans do pull off a close victory here. You wrote yesterday for Spartan Avenue the 3 reasons why Michigan State could make a Final Four run. And number 3 was their incredible depth. Mm-hmm. As everybody knows, in order for a 7 seed to come from behind and make a deep run, there's going to have to be an unexpected hero at some point. Whether it's in the Davidson game or potentially down the road, who do you feel like has the best chance to be that unexpected hero?
That's a good question. I've said Tyson Walker a few times. I will say that another guy to keep an eye on who has obviously Gabe Brown, he's leading scorer. He could always, you know, break out and have a crazy tournament. But Malik Hall is kind of that X factor who he's had games this year where he looks like he's the best player on the team by a mile, and then he'll have games where he disappears. So if he steps up and is the hero for Michigan State in the tournament, I like them to make a little surprise run. But he has to be aggressive. He has to be looking for a shot. He can't continue to disappear in big games. So Malik Hall is kind of that guy who could play hero and kind of put the nation on notice.
All right. We will have to keep our eyes out for that. And one final question. I want to step back from the NCAA tournament here, and this feels like the right way to close for me. Foster Lawyer did not work out at Michigan State. He has been absolutely incredible at Davidson this year. He ends up second team all conference. I thought he absolutely should have been on the first team. I can't say that I saw too much of him in a Spartan uniform, but throughout the year, just watching him, seeing his incredible instincts and his unselfishness, I felt like he could fit on basically any team in the nation. And it really surprises me that things did not work out at Michigan State. So for any fans who maybe didn't catch him there but has now seen his amazing work at Davidson, can you give us a little insight as to why things kind of went south there?
Well, as you know, Foster is a great shooter, and he has good instincts on offense, very high IQ on offense. He didn't work out basically just because – in the Big Ten, he kind of got pushed around a little bit because of his size. I'm not sure what he's listed at, but he looks like he's
6'6".
Okay. But, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he was actually 5'10 and 170 pounds soaking wet. And in the Big Ten, you're facing point guards who have, you know, 200 plus pounds, 6'2", 6'3", sometimes. So Foster's defensively, he was a liability most of the time when he was on the floor. And on offense, he wasn't really hunting his shot because he couldn't get open. He didn't have the length to deal with the Big Ten defenders. And everyone always said, they're like, this probably isn't, maybe he's just not a Big Ten point guard, but he would probably be great at a smaller school, you know, in a conference. He would dominate a smaller, you know, non-power conference. And we're seeing that now. Nobody ever said that he was not talented or any of this. The size was just a huge limitation in the Big Ten, and that's just why it didn't work out, unfortunately.
Yeah, and now seems like the best time for me to share this story. I encountered Foster Lawyer at the A-10 Championships. I saw Hyungjoon Lee signing some autographs in a corner after one of Davidson's wins, and from far away, I believed he was accompanied by one of the student managers. Get up close and realize, oh, that's Foster Lawyer. I'm at 5'11". Foster Lawyer is about the same size as me, so that 6 foot designation, I'm gonna have to put a big question mark on that.
Yeah, there's probably an asterisk next to that height on the roster.
So we will see. This is, as you mentioned, he has been able to go up against some slightly smaller, a little bit less physical guards this year. Now he goes up against some Big Ten guards, and if they win, potentially some ACC guards right after that. So we will see if he can continue to keep his great season rolling. But Connor, thank you for joining me. If people want to learn more about Michigan State, where can they find your work?
They can find me at SpartanAvenue.com or at SpartanAvenueFS on Twitter.
Yeah, and you got just an absolute overload of content up there right now. So Davidson fans are going to have a great chance to go back and dig into some old game stories, some takeaway articles, and try to learn as much as they can about the Spartans.
I'm sure if Davidson gets the win, they'll have plenty of material to use against me on Saturday morning.
Oh, I'm sure they will, especially after, I don't know if you started this narrative, but it definitely went around, and I saw that you tweeted it, that Foster Lawyer missing that three could have potentially knocked Michigan out of the tournament.
That was one of the first things that came to my mind when I watched it, and I had to say something about it, but unfortunately that didn't happen. But he gave it his best effort to try to help Michigan State out and keep Michigan out of the tournament.
Yeah, well, he knocked Dayton out as revenge for them beating them in the regular season finale. So that's what that shot ended up leading to.
Yeah, he got it all worked out for everybody in the end. Davidson was in regardless, so it's not like it killed him. But it was a fun little narrative while it lasted.
Fun for the Michigan State fans, not fun for some of us on this podcast. But Connor Muldowney, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much.
And thank you all for continuing to listen to the 3BID League podcast. If you haven't already and that game hasn't tipped off yet, be sure to go back and listen to our preview of the Richmond-Iowa matchup. We will be back this weekend if either Richmond or Davidson can get the victory. If not, we'll see you next week. Hopefully, we will at least have some NIT quarterfinals to talk about. If you enjoyed the show, please give us 5 stars on iTunes. Shoot us any comments you have to our Twitter page, at the number 3BID League pod. Enjoy the madness. There's really nothing else left to say.